Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Everyone, a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that where he is, we may be also. And so we thank God today for another day where we can come together and lift up the name of Jesus. It is he who declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that he would draw all men unto him. So we haven't come for any fashion, form, or show, but we've come simply to lift up the name of Jesus. And it's a good thing to give thanks and give praise unto the Lord, for truly the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. We're going to open our worship experience this morning by reading our invocation psalm, Psalm 24. And it begins, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the floods and established it upon, he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent before him. Hallelujah. We're going to ask Reverend Lindsay that she will lead us this morning in our invocation prayer. Good morning, Reverend Lindsay.
Good morning, Pastor Kason. Good morning, Heart of God Baptist Church.
praise God, this morning. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Father God, we come this morning with grateful and thankful hearts. We come, Father, thanking you for another beautiful Sunday. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because of your grace and your mercy. We are able, Father, to come and to serve you in spirit and in truth. And so, Father God, we come with grateful hearts this morning, knowing that you've been a good God unto us.
Yeah.
We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you this morning, Father God, because you have loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you because you have not dealt with us according to our sins and our iniquities, but you've given us a little more grace. And for that, we are thankful this morning. And Father God, I ask in Jesus' name, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would look on every heart and every soul this morning, O God. And Father God, if you see anything that's not pleasing, I pray, Father, that you would just cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, that you will cleanse us through your blood and sanctify us in your word. Father God, that you would make us worthy, Father God, to come before a holy and a righteous God. Oh God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the grace of Jesus, and we thank you for the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you for your word of truth. And Father God, I pray now, sweet Holy Spirit, that you would just come in and suck with us for a little while. And as you move from heart to heart and breast to breast, I pray, oh God, that we will be strengthened today, strengthened through your word and strengthened through your services, oh God. Father God, I ask your blessing upon Pastor Kason this morning. Look on him in a special manner, oh God. I pray that you build him up where he's going down. And then, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that through the preach word, Father God, that you will give him today, Father, that your people will be strengthened, that we will be healed, oh God. Father God, we, Father God, that need a closer relationship with you, Father. Father God, that we will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And, oh God, I pray through the preached word today, Father God, that some man, woman, or child will come to know you as being God and God all by yourself. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for the saving grace that came through the cross of Jesus. We thank you for your blood that you shed for our sins. And we thank you for the salvation that you will give today, Father.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I pray in your name, Lord Jesus, that as we lift you up through the preached word, that you will do the drawing, men, women, and children, oh, God, that you will move on their hearts, Father.
Because
truly we need a word from you. We need a Savior. Oh, God, we need your help, Father God. Because, Father God, there is no other way except you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for being that door of salvation today. We thank you for being that door of grace and mercy. We thank you for being that door of strength, that door of healing, oh God. And Father God, I pray through your preached word, oh God, that you will allow us to enter in, Father, and partake with you, Lord Jesus, that we will be better servants unto you. And then, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you look on First Lady today. Strengthen her as only you can. Continue to keep her as the apple of your eye. Bless her going out and her coming in, oh God. I pray that you will strengthen her hands, oh God. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you look on the first family. Strengthen them as only you can. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would look on our church, the heart of God, this morning.
Yes,
Father God, from the least to the greatest, oh God. From the youngest to the oldest, oh God. Oh, God, I pray that you will touch every soul today, Father. You know what they stand in the need of, Father. Those, Father God, that are hurting. Those, Father God, that need a healing. Those, Father God, that just need to be you, to be their comforter. Just need some strength and some healing, oh, God. I pray, Father, that you will meet every need, Father God. And, oh, God, not only for the heart of God. But, Father God, for mankind, for those that have tuned in to you, Father, regardless of how they are listening to you this morning, Father God, I pray that you will touch the very depths of their soul. Draw them nearer and nearer to your cross, oh God, nearer and nearer to your precious bleeding side, oh God. Father God, we just want more and more of you this morning, Father. And, oh God, this is my prayer today, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to keep us and guide us, lead us, and direct us, Father. because we can't do nothing on our own. So we're dependent on you this morning, Holy Spirit. We need you, Father, more than ever before, oh God. And Father God, not only I pray for our church and for the church family, but I pray for the world, oh God. I pray, Lord Jesus, for mankind everywhere, oh God, that you will touch, oh God, that you will be the answer to their prayer. And Father God, we will continue to give you the glory, continue to give you the honor and the praise, because truly thou art worthy to be praised, O Lamb of God, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Thy name, O God, is worthy to be praised. And we say hallelujah to you this morning,
hallelujah.
Father. Hallelujah to your name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and it's your mercy, Lord Jesus, that endureth forever. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your enduring mercy. And we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise, because thou art worthy. And we thank you for these and all blessings. In your darling Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank Reverend Lindsay for that fervent prayer. Amen. Be able to know that just a little talk, Jesus will make it all right. I said, just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. And so we thank God for the power of prayer that we are able to go to the Lord and through the power of prayer and his Holy Spirit ministers to us in prayer. And so we're grateful today for being able to have this avenue of prayer. And we thank God that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And so we give God the praise this morning. There is a song, amen. I remember when Mom's church opened up, they opened up in a school up from where they lived in John Bain Elementary School on Walker Mill Road in District Heights, Maryland. And she would help with the music in that church plant where they planted New Hope Baptist Church. Bishop Robert White is the pastor there. And she would play this song, and then some of the evenings before church, she would get our practice at home. She had a piano at home that my dad and her had purchased, and she would play this song, and it would cause her to get happy. And wonder how she would get happy, and she'd start singing, and then we'd tune in and we'd play it at church. It's a slow song, but it's a powerful song. The chorus really sticks with you, and that's hymn number 249, and it's entitled My God is Real, or in subclause, people know it as Yes, God is Real. And it's something when you have heard about God, and there's a difference when you know God for yourself. You've heard people talk, you've heard people mention God's name, but when you know God is real for yourself, and we're not talking about just what we heard that God is real, yeah, woo, 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 woo. But when you feel him down in your soul, and you know he's real, that's when you begin to have a closer relationship with God and fellowship with God, and realize that God has been with you all the days of your life, and that you can lean and you can depend on him. When you sing these songs from the depth of your soul, takes you back to where you first heard the song, or when you sing it in your church, or your time alone with the Lord, it really brightens your soul. And encourages you to go on, because you know that God has not forgotten you and that he's still real down in your soul. And the first verse says, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within my soul. And it goes on, yes, God is real, real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. So we're going to sing, and we want you to sing in your best and glory to God's voice, joyful noise, amen. And just as you're singing it and you're ministering to yourself and ministering to those that are around you, to know that, yes, God is real. My God is real. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. And then they would sing, yes, God is real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. And yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Let's sing that again. Yes, God is real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Verse 2, they were saying, some folks may doubt, yeah, and some folks may scorn. All can detest and leave me alone. Come on now. But as for me, I'll take God's part. For God is real, and I can feel him in my heart. And she was saying, yeah. Yes, God is real, real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, his love for me, just like your gold. And yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And then the last verse is, I cannot tell, just how you felt when Jesus, took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. Come on, y'all sing. Yes, God, God is real, in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me, just like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Y'all might as well go ahead and get your shout on. cause yes, God is, yes, God is real, real in my real, in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Come on, somebody sing. And he love for me, come on now, is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. I said, come on, let's give God some praise this morning. If you know that God is real, if you can feel him in your soul, yes, from that day, yes, from that hour, I can't tell it for you and you can't tell it for me, but somewhere along the line, come on, come on, come on, come on, give God glory. She would get happy when she was playing that song. Yes, God is real, real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he is washed and made me whole. His love for me, come on now, is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, because I can feel him every now and then. I can feel him deep down in my soul. Somebody ought to say glory to God. I know that you're real, because God, you've been good to me. You've let me know that you're there, God, when nobody else was there, and when nobody else could care, when nobody else understood. You came by my bedside. You helped me know, God, that you was real, and I thank you, God, that I can feel you deep down in my soul. Yes, God is real. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him, hey, down in my soul. Hallelujah. You might as well get your praise on. You might as well get your shout on the church. Even when we was in the school, we'd get up and start praising and singing and giving God the glory, because they knew there was a reality in serving a true and a living God. And you might have gone through some tough times and some struggles in your life and on this week, but in the end, you knew that God was there and God made a way and God kept you and God turned the situation around. And when you sang that song with joy, you said, yes, God is real. Hallelujah. To the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, amen, until you've had that real experience with God. I'm not talking about grandmama experience. I'm not talking about your mama experience. I'm not talking about your daddy and your granddaddy experience. I'm talking about the experience that you have for yourself that God is real. The experience that you have for yourself that you know 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 that God is real, that he's never let you down, that he was true to his word, that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you can begin to sing the praises of God and don't worry about what somebody else is saying or what somebody else may have to say, but you realize to you that God is real because you can feel him down in your soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, yeah, they used to sing that song, Lord Have Mercy. That's the old school song, amen. Yeah, it may not have been finger popping. It might not have been, amen, the top 40 sound, amen, but it was the sound of the Holy Spirit that let you know that God was real. Yes, God is real. Yes, God is real, because I can feel him down in my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank God. Amen, for the church of the oldest, way back in the 80s, Lord have mercy, we could sing those type of songs, amen, and it lifted your soul, and it brought joy to your spirit, amen, because you knew without a shadow of a doubt that the God that you were serving was a real God, and he was an on-time God, and he was a caring and a loving God, and you could sing that song, and it would have meaning to you that, yes, God is real. Come on, I'm gonna stop talking. Go to the worshipers today. I know somebody knows other than me, amen, that God is real. We're gonna go, amen, to our first worshiper, last four digits 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Truly, yes, God is real. I've tried it for myself, and I know he's real.
Look.
He continues to show himself mightily in my life every single day of my life. And I thank God for truly he is the real deal. He's the real thing. And I thank God this morning because I can feel him all over me. And I just thank God this morning. Hallelujah. It's just like fire shut up in my bones this morning.
Come on, come on, come on.
Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for Elaine, not only for Elaine, but Heart of God Baptist Church and my church family and my pastor and first lady and my family and those that are connected to me, y'all. All I can do is say, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, I thank God this morning. To God be the glory for the things that he has done and continues to do in all of our lives. I'm rejoicing and I'm grateful this morning for God's continued power. The power of God is awesome. He is my strength and weakness. He is my peace. It is his power that keeps me going day by day, minute by minute, and hour by hour. How great is our God? He is great and greatly to be praised. And when God steps in, I'm here to tell you, when God steps in, everything changes. And so I thank God this morning. And Pastor and First Lady, I just want to thank you, First Lady and Pastor, for the gift that I received on yesterday. Thank you, Noah, for delivering the gift to me yesterday.
Amen.
God bless you all. Blessings and more blessings upon you. I thank you, First Lady and Pastor, for your caring, your sharing, your compassion, for your genuine love that you have for God's people and for others. And I thank you for that. God bless you. Have a very, very, very blessed day and stay safe.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God bless you, Pastor Kason and First Lady Kason. Yes, God is real. And I can feel him deep down in my soul. I give him all the glory today, all the praise, because God is a good God. And if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? Truly, he is worthy to be praised this morning. So I thank God for his son, Jesus, who paid my sin debt in full. I praise God for the power of his Holy Spirit that is my comforter, that leads me and guides me every day. And I thank God for his word of truth. Hallelujah this morning. I give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise because God looked beyond my thoughts and he saw my needs. And I praise God this morning because of his love. It was his love that lifted me and set my feet on the solid rock because I was on my way to a devil's hell. Lord have mercy. And I thank Jesus. I thank Jesus that he made a way for me and he saved my soul. And I can rejoice in him today knowing that he is the God of my salvation. So I glory in him knowing that everything that I own, everything that I have, everything that I am belong to him because he is truly worthy to be praised this morning. So I thank God for you all, the church family. I thank God for my family, and I just thank God for just being merciful. I thank him for grace and one more day that I can praise his name and give him the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 7971. 7971. Good morning. Good morning, 7971. Might be on mute. Or they might be worshiping God. Or we're going to come back to them. Go to First Lady. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning, Heart of God. It is a blessing to know the Lord and know what you do for the Lord. You stand for his people. And yes, I do know that God is real, and he's real down in my soul. And the Lord sends you where he thinks you, where he feels that you need to go, not where you need to go. So yesterday I went out and I surprised some people. I had a good time, me and Noah. That's my riding buddy. And he helped me do some deliveries, and praise the Lord for your grandchildren. And I had a good time visiting those. And as they said, I'm going to be visiting some more, so you never know where I may show up at. But you know what? That's not me. That's the Lord sending me to where I need to be at any given time. And every time is the right time because it's on God's time. I love everyone. I pray that you all have a blessed week. And if you're going to be going to visit the doctors or have any appointments this week, I know the Lord's going to go before you, and he's going to take care of you, and he is going to bless you. I just love you all. I love Heart of God. That's why we have that name, because we have a heart for God and a heart for his people. You all have a blessed week. Love you.
And thank you, First Lady. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank God for this morning that just touched me this morning. It's been 10 years that the good Lord touched me and told me that it was time for me to stay on this roof and come on through this world. He had brought me a mighty long way for 10 years. And look back at this thing, and look back at life and the things we go through. We have to be thankful that we put our foot on the ground and our eyes open, and the good Lord gives you another second chance to stay on the ground and stay in this world. In your blessed holy name, I said, thank you, Father, for being so good, because of the world that gave me away, and you brought me back and brought me to the house. And I said,
hallelujah,
thank you, Father, for being so good to me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last word is 7971. 7971, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Heart of God Baptist Church Circle of Love. I'm so happy this morning to be able to be up and moving around. First Lady, I thank you for your visit. I thank you for my Sunday school book. We had a great Sunday school lesson this morning. Thank the Lord. And yes, God is real in my soul. He has made me and made me whole. It's an old song that takes me back to a little old white church in Wilco, West Virginia. And when you rooted and grounded in the Lord as a child, it has developed me to be what he wants me to be. And to have my nephew to be my spiritual leader is a blessing from God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you have done for me. I thank you, Lord, for that you brought me a mighty long way.
Amen.
And thank you for that you brought me through all the struggles that I have been through. You have given me the stamina, the encouragement to do thy will. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we have a First Lady that keeps us in tune each and every day with encouraging words, prayers, to let us know that God loves us, and our pastor and First Lady and church loves us with all their heart. And for that, Lord, I say thank you. We have so much to be thankful for, and so many blessings have come out of the teaching of pastor's sermons, of the old hymns, and the things that God wants us to do as Christians. And we have carried them out the best of to our ability. It's a good thing to have God on your side, to know you can call on him. He doesn't let you down, and he gives you his best all the time, all the time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You all be blessed. Continue to do God's will, and he will give you his best. You all have a blessed weekend, and stay safe. morning, heart of God. Good morning, Pastor First Lady. I thank God for both of you. I thank you for your spirit, your caring, and what you do to keep us uplifted and in touch with the Lord. Yes, God is real, and I can certainly feel him in my soul. God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. It's real. I feel him. It takes me back. It does take me back to my little old church. Yes, it does. My brother used to sing it, Pastor, sound just like you. God is real. I can feel it with my soul.
Yeah.
I feel it. I really do. Thank you, First Lady, for your visit yesterday. It was good to see you. I have a little something in my throat this morning, but it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So you all pray for me. Oh, Lord, for my continued healing. My praise report today is my doctor hasn't gotten back in touch with me yet, and it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, so I know God is working it out. He's working it out. So you all be blessed. Continue to do what you're doing, because it's all good for my soul. I love you. Have a blessed day.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Truly God is real down in your soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give God glory today for being able to minister to his people. Amen. And let them know that he is real. Amen. Amen. We're getting ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Just want to remember all of our church family. Remember those that are going through surgeries and those that are waiting on reports and results. And remember D.C. Williams, Minister D.C. Williams, and his father's past. Services, I believe it's on Wednesday. Well, we'll let you know. Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure, but we'll let you know after First Lady. I'll let you know after the service, but it'll be at Fort Lincoln in Ladenburg, Maryland. Just want to continue to pray for his family, continue to pray for Deacon Anita Bryce, amen, her family, amen. Continuing to rehab and get stronger in the Lord. Continue to pray for our church family in its entirety. Know that God, amen, is a prayer answering God, amen. And all of us are recipients of answered prayer. Continue to pray for the bereaved families, pray for the sick, the shut-in, the homeless family. Pray for the nations, the continents all over this world. All the churches that are open in the name of Jesus, pray for our president, vice president, and all of the cabinet members. Continue to pray for our children and school teachers, men and women, uniform all over this world. We know that there's wars and rumors of wars that are going on, but we know God is still in control, amen. And we want to continue to ask him, amen, to lead God and direct us in the way we should go, that his will be done in our lives and in the lives of this world. Amen. Amen, that nothing catches God by surprise. Amen. And that there's nothing too big for our God, because truly the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes if she would get ready to lead us in prayer. And that we would all pray one for another, that God would bring us through another week, amen, another day, another minute, another hour, another second, amen, that we might know, amen, that he is God, and beside him there is none other. Reverend Saint.
Let us pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we humbly come this morning thanking you for another opportunity to praise your name. We thank you this morning for your loving kindness and your faithfulness. We thank you for being our refuge and our strong tower. We thank you for your healing power on this morning, Father. We thank you for the new mercies of this new day, for this is the day that you have made, and we will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Allow your healing hands to touch those who are wounded in spirit this morning. Lord, give us the strength to endure as good soldiers the challenges we encounter in our lives. Grant us more of the spirit of wisdom, standing of your word. Thank you for your word, because it's through your preached word, God, that lives are transformed. Continue to use Pastor Kason to minister to your people through the preached word. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory upon the heavens. And, Father, we come this morning bringing some petitions to you this morning, Father, and we pray that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us pure vessels to be used by you, Father God. And, Father God, we pray this morning, Father, for this nation. We pray for those that are in leadership, those that, oh, God, that are having medical issues, Father God. We pray for all pastors and all of our churches and all communities on this morning. Oh, God, we pray for all of our families that are near and far, those that are connected to our families. We pray for those in hospitals, those in nursing homes, those, oh, God, that are still dealing with the COVID-19 and the various viruses that are still out there, Father. Even though the pandemic is not over completely, God, we thank you, Father, because we know that you still have healing hands. And, God, we lift up, oh, God, our children. We lift up our youth. We lift up our teachers and doctors and nurses this morning. All of the frontline workers, Father God, we lift them up this morning, Father God. And sometimes, God, on this journey, we get weary and we lose heart, Father. But help us to refocus on your goodness, Father. And we release, oh, God, any anxieties and any pressures, oh, God, of this day that we have on us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, because we need you, God, and we can't make it without you, Father God. And in spite of what we're going through, God, you're still performing miracles and you're still blessing your people. And so we thank you, Father God, for your presence in our lives, Father God. Oh, God, we thank you, Father God, for continuing to renew our strength. Oh, God, we just love you. We adore you, Father God. We know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think, according, oh, God, to the power that works within us, Father God. And we know, Father God, that just a little talk with you will make everything all right. And so, Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come, oh, God, and to have a talk with you on this morning, Father God. We thank you for inclining your ear unto your servant, unto your daughter, unto your people this morning, Father God. And we just say hallelujah to your name this morning, because there is none like you, Father. And so we magnify your name and we glorify your name on this morning, Father God, because you and you alone are worthy, Father God, of all the praise, of all the honor, and all the glory, Father God. And you are more than enough, Father God. So we thank you this morning, Father God, and we bless your name and we praise your name, Father God. Oh, God, continue to keep us as the apple of your eye. Continue to lead, guide, and direct us, Father God, as only you can. And we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory all the days of our lives. And we ask all of these things in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. God, again, for the church and the power of prayer. Amen. Prayer that we have one for another. Whatever we may be going through, we know that God is a prayer answering God. Amen. And, you know, God shows favor toward his people. Amen. Even in the midst of evil and perverse world, somebody knows that God shows favor and he answers the prayers of his children. Amen. And we just have to continue to keep praying one for another. Amen. Know that God knows and God cares, and that God answers prayer. So we're going to go to the word of God today. A fellow by the name of Nehemiah, one of the Old Testament writers. And he had a relationship where he could talk to God. And he talked to God, and as he was talking to God, God began to put things in order so that people who had lost their way, or people that were in trouble, or people that were going through for whatever reason, amen, will begin to see the hand of God deliver them. And so whatever you're going through, whatever your family members are going through, whatever you might be going through on your job or in your family or in your life, and those that are ministering to people, the caregivers, the teachers, the people, the clergy, amen, know that God hears your prayers, and that people are praying for you, and people are concerned for you. And with that prayer, that concern, amen, God gives an answer. So I like for us to go to the book of Nehemiah, go to the book of Psalms. You come back, Nehemiah is in between Ezra and Esther. So if you come back, read books from Psalm, you'll find the book of Nehemiah. And we want to look at a couple of chapters, particular chapter 8, and we want to see where we how we get to chapter 8 by looking at chapter 1 and seeing how Nehemiah sought the king. He realized that there was a great challenge for his people, and he was talking to the king Artaxerxes, who had been in charge of Babylonian captivity when the two divisions of God's people, Israel and Judah, had gotten carried away into Babylonian captivity. The city of Jerusalem was overtaken, and all of the people in Jerusalem that were of a value for slave labor and enhanced labor were taken into captivity for the oppressors. And Artaxerxes was one of those who was in charge during the 70-year Babylonian captivity. And so Nehemiah was a cupbearer of the king, and got word that there was trouble in his hometown, trouble in his country, in Israel, Jerusalem. And we'll pick up in Nehemiah chapter 1, and we'll see this how this unfolds. And as it unfolds, we'll see the heart and the compassion of Nehemiah and his ability to pray and seek God's face. And as he goes through this repenting and goes through this understanding where God's people had gone wrong, he began to beseech God and ask God to help turn things around by God's mercy. So let's look at this in Nehemiah chapter 1. It says, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chesu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He was asking about the ones who had escaped the captivity. And so in verse 3 says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So homeland was broken down, and the walls and everything of this great city were torn down. And in verse 4 it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words, and I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So this is our position, church. Our position is that we should always be a church of prayer. We should always be a people of prayer because life situations happen. I don't care if it's in a situation of where another country is trying to take over another country, whether it's a sickness, it's an ailment, or something that's going on in your family or someone else's family. That our position is that we should have compassion and that we should be able to go to God in prayer. And so he sat down and he mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And this is what he said in verse 5. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He said in verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children. Again, there's this thing of humbling and going before God and confessing sins. And so he said, the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. In other words, he just didn't project this as this was other people sinning, but he humbled himself and said, not only did they sin, but I sinned too. In other words, he's confessing his faults. He's saying we're coming up short. And so in verse 7, he says what we did, what was our sins, and he confessed his sins. In verse 7, he said, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. In other words, we have totally abandoned the word of God. And verse 8 says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. In other words, they are experiencing what God said in his word. And in other words, they understood what God's word said, but they decided not to do what God's word said. And God said that if you don't do what my word says, my commandments, my statutes, my judgments that I've given to you, he said, I will scatter you abroad amongst the nations. And so they find themselves in this situation. But it continues in verse 9. He says, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out of the uttermost parts of heaven, he says, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. And in other words, God says, even though you've messed up, somebody ought to say glory to God, even though you've sinned and done contrary to what my word said, God said, amen, that even if you did those things, amen, and you turn unto me. And this is the key that we need to understand, is that none of us are perfect. There's none righteous but Jesus. There's none righteous but God. There's none righteous, but God is a loving God. Somebody ought to say glory to God. Amen. That even if we tore our tail, even if we messed up, if we bumped our head, if we've done things that were contrary to the word of God, God loves us so much that he says, if you turn unto me and keep my commandment. In other words, if you turn away from those things, I believe it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by thy name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I would hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. And so here Nehemiah is saying things on that same line. And he's saying, God, you said this in your word. He said, turn unto me. And then in verse 10, he says, now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. In other words, God, we've seen what you can do. God, you're real in our life. You know what you have. We know what you have done. And so he goes on and petitions the Lord in prayer. And this is why I say we have to stay in prayer. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So he's saying all this before he goes before the king. He's talking to God before to go before the king who has had his people in captivity. And he's saying, God, I want you, amen, to grant me mercy that when I go and partition before this king, amen, that you would grant me mercy, that it would turn out in my favor, in the favor of my people. And when we begin to understand this is the way to approach God, this is the way how we talk to God, this is the way how we get in tune with God, this is the way to begin to start unlocking the mercy and the favor of God in your life. When you have a situation that seems impossible, when you have a situation, amen, that you and your humanness and your eyesight, amen, have not the ability to be able to deal with it, but when you turn to the God, he said he was a great and terrible God that can deliver from any sort, and when you turn to this great and terrible God that can deliver out of any sort, a loving and forgiving God, when you have situations that arise in your life, you have to begin to walk out on faith that God is going to be truthful to his word, not that we're so faithful, that God is going to be faithful to his word, and we have to have faith that God is going to be faithful, that he said, if you turn unto me, if you come back to me, amen, if you seek and do my thing the way I said to do it, amen, that it's going to work out in your favor. Lord have mercy. But too many times people don't know the word of God. They're struggling and they're reaching and they're grabbing and they're trying to do things to get the situation to change in their own way. But as they do it, they get more frustrated, they get more upset, they get more discouraged, amen. Their faith begins to wane. But God said, this is the plan and this is the formula for you to be able to obtain, amen, mercy and have your faith honored. If you go to the word of God, Lord have mercy, and follow the word of God, and if you go to the word of God and follow the word of God and by faith carry out what he has asked you to do, God will be faithful unto you and he will deliver just like he said. Oh God, hallelujah, he would do. So as you continue on and you go to chapter 8, after Nehemiah received King Artaxerxes to let him go. We don't have enough time, amen. I wish we had more time. I might just go back to that verse 2 and hit a little bit of that. We're going to go to verse 8. But if you go back to chapter 2, and it says, and it came to pass, and I'm sorry, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime in his presence. And the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to God of heaven. In other words, God had opened the heart of the king to Nehemiah's request, and Nehemiah didn't request what his will was, but he prayed to God that his will would be done. And in verse 5, he says, and I said unto the king, if it pleases the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. other words, what happened was God showed favor to Nehemiah because of his prayer, because of his going and acknowledging the sins of him and his country. And God showed him favor that when he went before the king, he had prepared the king's heart, and the king showed him favor, amen, because God had prepared the way, and that Nehemiah had come the correct way. And when you come the correct way and God prepares the way, Lord have mercy, there is no thing that can stop God from allowing you to find favor in the way. And this is what's so vital to the church today, is that the church is all over the place. We need to come together based upon what the word of God says. We need to stop expecting, amen, that things will change or be any different if we don't do it God's way. And so by faith, we have to go to God in a manner that's pleasing in his sight, acknowledging him, acknowledging our shortcomings, acknowledging his word, letting him know, God, that we messed up, we've fallen out of doing your will. And God, we know what your word is. And now that we know what your word is and we understand what your word is, God, we desire to do things your way. And God, please show favor that as we're trying to get back, amen, to where it ought to be, amen, that you would continue, amen, to show us favor. And by faith, we'll walk in your word, in your statutes, and in your ways. And so this takes us to chapter 8, where we see Nehemiah, amen, coming to the place of Jerusalem. And as he surveyed Jerusalem and he saw what was going on and how that the walls were torn down and the remnant was there, but there was a bad situation from where the glory of Jerusalem was. And so he took an account and he got the people together and said, the reason why we are in this situation is because we got away from the word of God. Because we got away from the things that God told us to do. And the reason why we're in this situation, amen, is because God wants us to come back into the proper relationship with him. God wants us to return to him, and God wants to show his love and his compassion and his mercy toward us, that we might be in the proper relationship that he desired for us to be in, not only with him, but each other. And my brothers and sisters, the things of this world are in such situation and in such peril because the people that are called by God's name, the creation, have forgotten the creator. The creation, the people that God have created, have turned to their own devices, have turned to their own ways, have turned on each other and created a situation, amen, that's not tenable to be able to survive, amen, and live with each other. This group against this group against this group, these people against these people, this situation against this person because of the things that we disagree upon. But God said it would be like that way if you did not turn to me and do it my way. And so Nehemiah in chapter 8 is going to explain to us, amen, how we need to get back, amen, to doing it God's way. Lord have mercy. And the way to do it God's way is get into the book of God. And Nehemiah, when he got the people together and they were going to observe this, they call it the Feast of Booths, where they celebrated how God had kept them 40 years in the wilderness. And there's so many times where God has kept his people after they've gone astray. So even the book of the Feast of Booths is where they celebrated how God had kept them 40 years in the wilderness. And when we see the Passover, how God allowed the death angel to pass over them. So they celebrated the Passover. They celebrated the Book of Booths, where the people would go outside. And as a reminder of them being outside, that they would observe and worship how God kept them when they didn't have a house, when God they didn't have a place to live, that God kept them. And so they observed this, and they call it they call it the booth, And so they would build these booths outside their house, and they would stay in these booths as a reminder of when they were outside and when they wandered in the wilderness. And so what they would do is they would have this as a reminder, sort of like we have a reminder of our communion, sort of like they had a reminder of their Passover to remember what God had done. And so Nehemiah, in this eighth chapter, he lets us know that the people have forgotten the joy of Jerusalem. They have forgotten the God that had set them up in a large place, the God that was with them as a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The God that even though they might have been in the wilderness was always there with them. The God, amen, that had them as a tent in the wilderness, the tabernacle, that God was there with them. His presence was there with them. And God did not want them to forget that God was the God that was with them in the tent in the wilderness, and that God was the God was with them when they were wandering in the wilderness. And so God put this into play, and Moses told them, don't forget this. And God gave them, amen, a festival to keep, a festival of booths where they would walk outside and build a structure outside, and they would recognize and they would worship God for keeping them when they didn't have a dwelling place. And so Nehemiah, in this eighth chapter, he said, I need to remind the people, amen, of what God said. And when I remind them what they said, we'll explain to them, amen, what went wrong and how to get right with God and how to get right when what something has gone wrong is always to go back to God and go back to God's word. And so if you look at chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And so if you're looking for a title to this sermon, amen, the title is Bring the Book. Bring the book. And when you look at this thing that Ezra and Nehemiah were doing, they were reminding the people how the word of God says, and they were explaining to them, amen, what the word of God said. See, a lot of times people can tell you what the word of God says, but you have to have the proper people explain to you, amen, what the word of God says. So it's important to gather, amen, with people that not only can tell you what the word of God says, but is able to explain to you what the word of God says, so you can have an understanding, amen, of what is right in the sight of God and what is wrong in the sight of God. And so after they had gone astray, after they had been led into Babylonian captivity, they had not observed the festival of booths for some believe over 1,000 years. Some scholars say it was observed, but it wasn't observed in the right spirit. It wasn't observed with the joy that the Holy Spirit would give you to be able to observe, to be able to worship. Just like with us today, In the time we live in the 21st century, where we understand the word of God in John 4:24, it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when we worship God, we're not just worshiping. We're just not saying words. We're just not saying prayers, but we're worshiping based upon what the Holy Spirit has allowed us to be able to experience with God, to respond to his word, to respond to each other in a spirit, amen, of worship and love and concern. And truth, amen. And it makes a difference when you worship God in spirit and in truth. It makes a difference, amen, when you know what the word of God says, when someone is explaining to you what the word of God and the spirit of God is enhancing the word, so you have clarity, not only with your understanding, but with your spirit to know, amen, without a shadow of a doubt, amen, that God is real and that God has the ability, God has a desire to do and to carry out what's best for you and work on your behalf. And so they said, bring the book. And I can only imagine people looked around and said, what do you mean bring the book? And Ezra brought the book. It was the book of the law of Moses. It was the book that told them how to conduct themselves in the world. It was the book that told them that if they didn't do it, how far they would get led astray and how they would be brought into captivity. It was the book that told them the story of how God wanted to bless them and keep them. It was the book that God says, remember to do this and remember to do this. It was the book that gave them the instruction, just like today's book is our Bible, the biblical instructions before leaving earth, if you will, as an acronym. It is the Bible. It is the word of God that God has given to his people to let them know, amen, this is the way to conduct yourselves in this world that we live in. And so in verse 2 of chapter 8, it says, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. In other words, it had to be in a manner, amen, where they could understand. It has to be in a manner that they can understand. It has to be in a situation, in a setting where people can get the understanding of the word of God. And so you have to pray that God would have the anointed person in the presence of Ezra and Nehemiah and those ministers and those teachers, that they would teach the word of God under the anointing of God, that the people will understand the word of God. And so in verse 8 it says, and he read therein before the street, it was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that were understood. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And so people have to be in a position where they want and have a desire and thirst for the word of God. And verse 4 says, and Ezra the scribe stood up a pulpit of wood, which they had made of the purpose, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Matthias and Shema and Al-Nahar, Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right and on his left, Pelah, and Mishael, and Malchah, and Hashem, and Hashabad, Shana, Zechariah, and Milsham. In other words, these were the people that God had placed to be able to speak the word and teach the word and understand the word so they can give it clearly to understanding for those that were in a need of understanding the word. In verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. And sometimes in churches, when the minister opens the word of God and reads the word of God, this is tradition that people stand up. And many times there's a pulpit where people will come, and the pulpit is elevated and people will hear the word of God because they have the reverence of God and they have a thirst for God. And so this is the reference of some of the things that churches do and that people do in worship settings. And so in verse 6, it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so many times as we go into worship, and amen is agreeing with the word of God, and lifting up and worshiping God is a part of our worship experience. But too many times people fail to even come to the house of worship. People fail to study the word of God. People fail to teach the word of God. And I've seen many a minister, amen, that claim to be called and claim to have God as the one they want to serve, that they fail to stand up in their role of minister. They fail to stand side by side with those that are teaching the word of God. They don't understand how important it is for those who have been called by God to be able to minister the word to those that God has placed in front of them that need an understanding of the word of God. And so it's a call today for the ministers and the congregations and the churches amen, to get together and get back to worshiping God, get back to reading and understanding the Word of God, and not only reading and understanding and worshiping the Lord of God, the Lord God, but also carrying out and following the Word of God. So you can worship, you can read, and you can understand, but if you're not by faith, amen, carrying out the Word of God in your life, amen, you're just practicing religion. And so this is what the people had done year after year for thousands of years. They had not worshiped God. They had not studied God's word. They had not gathered in the place of God. They had not carried out what God's word said. And so they got further and further away from God, and they began to start experiencing and suffering the things that God said they would experience and suffer if they got away from the word of God. And so in verse 7, it says, also Jeshua and Baal and Sherebiah and Jamin and Acub and Shebiah and Jamin and Acub and Sherab and Hodiah and Masai and Keli and Azareth and Josiah had Hannah and Pali, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And I go through all these names, and God put all these names in this Bible because the names of the people, amen, that are in this Bible were people that ministered to God's people. And so whatever your name is, amen, you can live a life, amen, that ministers to God's people, that once you have an understanding of the word, that you can minister to someone else by the life that you live. You might not be a called ordained minister. You might not be a ordained a person to stand in the pulpit. But your faith and your understanding gives you the ability to live a life based upon faith before someone else, so they can come to understand the word of God for themselves and to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. But we have to bring the book. Bring the book, not only physically bring the book, but we have to bring the book in our lives, in our representation, in our faith. We have to bring the book. We have to know what the word of God says and understand it according to the will of God and according to how God has placed in our spirit, and be able to bring that book that is not me speaking, but it's the word of God speaking for your understanding and your clarity and your benefit. And when you have that understanding for clarity and for your benefit, what happens is now you begin to get an understanding of God. Now you begin to grow in the word of God. Now you begin to not talk what your will is, but what God's will is. Now you begin to bring the book, amen, the book that's in your bosom. The word of God says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you bring the book, what happens is you begin to conduct yourself and your character based upon the word of God, not based upon the way of the world, and you begin to make a difference where you are. You begin to make a difference in your church, in your home, in your family, with your husband, with your wife, with your children, in your community. And so what happens is, because God is love, the love of God will begin to get shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You'll begin to speak in the truth of God. You'll begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, and your gathering to worship God won't be mundane and religious, but it'll be a spiritual experience that's uplifting not only to you, but those that are around you, and glorifies God. So he says in verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verse 9, he says, and Nehemiah, which is Tirah, Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites, who said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord. In other words, when people are understanding the word of God, people have gotten clarity for the word of God. The Spirit of God gives them something that nobody else can give. It gives them a personal relationship with God. It gives them insight to what God wants for them and their people. And so after this, in verse 9, he says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. In other words, they began to get pricked and convicted at their hearts that they had failed and they had not done the things of the word of God. And if the Spirit of God is in you, truly in you, and you have a faithful relationship with him, when you do the things that are contrary to his word, you'll find that you'll be convicted that you're doing things contrary to the word of God. But God says in verse 10, he says, then he said unto them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I've seen some good days. I've seen some bad days. I've seen some ups and I've seen some downs. I've seen people go through and I've seen people almost give up. I've seen people do some good things and I've seen people do some bad things. And one thing that I found out through my walk with God and watching other people's walk with God, that we can always turn to the word of God for encouragement in the midst of our journey. I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that there was somebody that was willing to teach me the word of God, that there was somebody that thought it not robbery, that they would be able to share word with me about this great and terrible God. And I thank God today and that they didn't speak what thus said them, but they spoke what thus said the Lord. In other words, they bought the book of the word of God. Not only did they bring it in a physical Bible, but they bought it in the word of God and the book in their heart. And I'm glad today that we had so many examples that when we got strayed away from the things of God, when we did the things that were not pleasing in the sight of God, that they were able to bring the book to the situation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that I had some parents that didn't mind bringing the book. Even sometimes they bought the book that said, spare not the rod, because you will spare the child. They bought the book and beat my behind. Have I got a witness today? But that's what the problem is today. Nobody wants to bring the book. Nobody wants to tell the world what the word of God says. See, the world is in a bad situation, sort of like what Nehemiah observed, and he went to King Artaxerxes. But the world won't turn from their wicked ways. They won't turn back to the word of God. They won't have humility. They won't have the time or the constraint to go before the word of God and the preachers of the word of God and get the word of God as a guidance, how God can show favor even in the midst of the terrible, even in the midst of the spirit of Antichrist, even in the midst of a terrible enemy. But I'm here to tell you today that if you bring the book to the situation, you never seen leaders bring the book. You never seen leaders pray before they have these great conferences. You never see them out in public talk about we have common ground, and that is the God that we serve. But if you bring the book to the situation, if you bring the book to the circumstance, God is able to show you favor. That's why leaders who have gone before the Lord were able to find favor in the sight of God, just like Nehemiah was able to find favor in the sight of Artaxerxes and allow him to go and return back and build the temple again. I'm here to tell you, God is the same God. God has not changed. If you go to the book and understand what the book says, I'm talking about the B-I-B-L-E, but you gotta be consistent with bringing the book. And when trouble comes your way, you can turn to the word of God. And the book says, don't worry, don't get despondent, don't get upset, but bring the book and understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that God will give you strength in the midst of the trial. God will give you strength in the midst of the storm. God will give you the ability to be able to stand. And having done all to stand, you'll be able to stand some more when the enemy comes in like a flood. The book says that God will lift the standard when your body's racking in pain. The book says, I'm your healer. Behold, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. When you don't know how you're going to make it, you turn to the book, and the book says, nothing's impossible with God. When you have trouble in your way, you have the God that never lost a case. The book says he is God, and God all by himself, that he specializes in things that we call impossible. When you have peace, don't have peace. The book says his peace he gives you, not like the world gives it unto you, but his peace is a peace that passes all understanding. We got to bring the book whenever the situation is upset with your home, upset with your family, upset with your husband, upset with your wife, upset with your job. Bring the book. Bring the book. Tell them what the word says. Pray to God. Let God know that you're sorry for the things that you did wrong. Get to the word of God. Come together on the word of God. Bring the book and watch the trouble. Watch the husband. Watch the wife. Watch the job. Watch the church. Watch the world. Get in line with the word of God. But we got to bring the book. When they brought the book to that situation, God worked it out. I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that I was tempted to do it my way so many times. But I said, hold on. Let me bring out the book, see what the book has to say. And when I do what the book and did what the book had to say, it worked out in a way, amen, that was more favorable to me, amen, according to the word of God. But you got to bring the book. Bring it. You talking to somebody? Before you go, see what the word of God says you should say, what you should do. Pray and ask God to intervene on that situation. And when they speak and you speak, speak what thus said the Lord. Bring the book. Bring the book. Bring the book. Come with that word. You come with those statutes and those precepts, and you have that understanding. What happens is, amen, you'll have a joy to understand, amen, that God knows and God can work it out. And so your relationship with God and each other, amen, is not just a going through the motion, but it's going through in a manner that's pleasing in the sight of God. And when you do things that are pleasing in the sight of God, it gives you a joy. And you'll have the strength that word says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, God will give you the strength to make it through anything when you do it according to his book, according to his word. And it might be delayed, but it's not denied. It might take some time, amen, but God will give you the strength and the ability to be able to endure until it comes to pass. And so you can have joy even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the trial, because you are bringing the book, not only physically, but spiritually in your heart to that situation. Amen? I know I kept you too long, but you got to bring the book. Don't do it on your own. You'll end up like all the rest of us and those that are in the Old and the New Testament, looking sad and silly in the face with Satan laughing at you. But when you bring the book, oh, Lord, it will come to pass. And you'll have joy, amen. You'll have strength, and you'll have the ability, amen, to say, I bought the book, and it worked out in my favor. And I still have joy, and I know, yes, God is real, because I bought the book, the physical book, and the spiritual book in my heart to help me to get through this thing that we call life. Amen? Hallelujah. Wish I had a little more time. Amen. Go through there and read those first 8 chapters and see how God worked that thing out for God's people, how God made a way. God touched the heart of those that were keeping them in bondage and how they turned back to the word of God. I don't know about you. When we mess up, Turn back to the word of God. See what God says about this situation. Say, I done messed up big time, God. God, you know the situation. You know the story. You know the situation and the circumstance. I'm turning back to you. Have mercy on me. And God will have mercy on you. God will forgive your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll pick you up, dust you off, set your feet back on a solid rock, which is Christ. But you got to get to a place where you hear the word and you understand. If you don't understand, get to someone, amen, that's called by God. I'm not talking about no fly-by-night folk. Lord have mercy, we'll get to that. They call those folks hirelings. The Bible talks about a hireling. They don't care nothing about you. Might be flashy and might make you feel good emotionally, amen. But ain't doing nothing for you spiritually. Ain't nothing doing nothing for your soul, amen. You need to get an understanding, clarity of the word of God, amen. So bring the book, amen. Understand the book. Hide the book in your heart, amen. And it will work out in your faith. Amen. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you. May God's love and peace, amen, continue to overflow you with his joy. And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have an awesome day. Let heaven smile upon you in Jesus' name.